Good morning. Exodus chapter 12, verses 6 through 13. Now you shall keep the Passover lamb until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its heads with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Have you been marked for slaughter? According to Calvinistic doctrine, everything that happens, happens because God wanted it that way. And somehow they actually suggest that that's comforting. Comforting that God wanted Adam to fall into sin, wanted you born sinful, wanted you marked for slaughter, wants every disease, disaster that ever occurs in this world, and even wants most people to reject faith. Where does that leave you? Well, according to Calvinistic doctrine, it leaves you either hypocritically assuming that you know God's hidden will has selected you, or in despair. If consistent, either one of them is outside of Christ and therefore doomed. But thank God, Calvinism is balderdash. And praise the Lord that He did mark the lamb for slaughter. Sadly, most things that happen in this world are not what God wants. 1 Timothy 2, God wants all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3, the Lord is long-suffering, not wanting anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance. So what does that mean? Does it mean that God is weak, that He's not really God at all, that He can't accomplish what He wants? What did we just hear in 2 Peter? The Lord is long-suffering. Suffering. Demonstrating that He is foregoing the omnipotent ability that He does have to slaughter all sinners. He is long-suffering. He doesn't want any of the sin. He wants all to repent. In His wisdom, God has chosen to approach man through means, through ordained means, the word and sacraments, which man has the fatal capacity to reject to his doom. God wants all to repent. But man fails. And yet even then, God remains faithful. His promises never fail. And His omnipotence is demonstrated in that, that what He has promised has always come to pass. Comfort of comforts, this Lord who is both graciously long-suffering and omnipotent does not want to mark you for slaughter. He marked the Lamb for slaughter. And so in Exodus, the Lord told the children of Israel to take a one-year-old male lamb, to kill it without breaking one bone, to paint its blood on the doorposts of their homes. For that night, the angel of death passed over every home that had that blood on the doorpost. But where that blood was lacking, slaughtered every firstborn male. A great cry went up throughout Egypt. But what joy filled the hearts of those who'd put that blood on their door. And so it came to pass that Jesus was born in a manger. For from the beginning, the Lord had marked Him for slaughter, to be treated by man and by His own Father as an animal and not a man. One to be sacrificed for the sins of man. And yet, through all the genealogies of man, here is the one man who was born without blemish and without spot. Crime? We sing about it, but He probably did cry. It does play an essential role in opening and exercising small lungs. But in His case, there was no selfishness, no anger, no deceit. Only those sweet sounds that warm a parent's heart. This baby, His own firstborn, the Father, marked for slaughter in place of you, as the only sufficient payment for all your sins and for the sins of the whole world. Oh, what joy beyond expressing that His blood is painted on your heart and mine. So the angel of death is passing over you. The Lord also instructed the children of Israel to eat the lamb with bitter herbs, to remember their bitter bondage in Egypt. They were to eat the whole lamb till nothing was left. They were to eat it with a belt around their waist and their sandals on their feet, because that night they're going to need the strength of that meal for the journey they would begin. And as they marched out of Egypt, carrying the riches of Egypt, what unity they had together in the Lord. God wants us to have that unity as we come to Jesus' manger. We come out of the darkness of a world, eating the bitter herbs of our own bondage and sin and death. We hear the cries of its grief all around us. But comfort of comforts, the Lord's promises never fail. And they are meant for every one of you, for the whole world. The Lord never wanted, never wants sin to take place. He wants all to believe in His promise of salvation through this Lamb in the manger, who in the virgin birth joined God to man, who in His deliverance from sin joined the humble shepherds with the royal magi, who inviting sinners to this feast joins those coming from the east and the west, sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you in that feast of salvation, comfort of comforts, what the Lord promises, he does get. The Lamb has been slaughtered. The forgiveness of your sins completely accomplished, and accomplished for all. Sin and unbelief is only man's fault. So don't spurn his invitation. Don't eat only half the meal of salvation. In the Lord's appointed means, take that blood of the Lamb and paint it all over your heart. For in your place, the Lord marked the Lamb for slaughter. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 62, stanzas 3 and 4.